We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Gordon Whitmire joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you?
You know, it was fun. We were talking about a little bit earlier. You know, if you start talking about who are the most confident players on the roster and who are the guys that have the most swag, I would say it's Arrieta and Contreras and Baez. There's a certain amount of look at me to all of them in Jake's case, you know, posing naked for ESPN, the magazine.
Baez did it, too.
And Baez.
Taking off his shirt right before he does post-game.
Exactly.
Interview.
So the swag guys had a big night, and the Cubs won a game.
Yeah, and by the way, not so much in a look-at-me way, but you talk about a guy that's got some swagger, Wade Davis.
Yeah, he really does have a quiet confidence about him, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, you just watch the way he takes the mound and does his business. I mean, he doesn't say much, but he's got every bit as much sort of John Wayne in him than any of these guys. Not that we'll see him again anytime soon. But yeah, you're right, man. The guys that sort of showed the most last night. So yeah, it was pretty. That was one of the most intense and sort of tension building games, right down to the last pitch. I mean, literally down to the last pitch, that double play ball when you didn't know how much Davis had left. That was an incredible game.
Even getting to Wade Davis, Joe gets booed, you know, as soon as he puts a step on the foot on the top step of the dugout to go get Jake. It looked like he was getting itchy to do it even earlier than that. Crowd lets him know what they think about the bullpen and go into it. And Dunson gets one-third of an inning, gets his job done, and you turn it over to Wade Davis. And, you know, that was a huge moment before you had the other moments that followed.
No doubt. And it was the right thing to do. I mean, I don't know if they were booing the bullpen or more or less than the fact that he's taken out Jake and what might be his last start as a Cub and you know, wanting to see more, wanting to see him get a chance to finish it out himself. But it was the right thing to do. I mean, early in that game, I mean, I think he walked three or four guys. And early in that game, it just felt like 4 or 5 inning start type thing. Like he might give up one run or maybe none, but that he was going to use a lot of pitches to get there. He came up really big. And, you know, he is so competitive. We've seen him in such big games in the past and sort of come through. That none bigger than that, and to get into the seventh, and to get two outs deep into the seventh inning, especially the way it looked when he started, that was really impressive. I mean, really, really impressive. The guy had the hamstring thing. He had only three starts since his hamstring injury, and only one of those was really, really Arrieta like sharp. So, I mean. Yeah, I mean, it was just huge.
According to the first thing you said when you were talking, answering the first question is, you know, we won't see Wade Davis for a while. Who do you see? I mean, how does
this
one? Well, yeah, exactly. I guess you got to go to Carl Edwards. So you got to go to
Absolutely. All
the people that you've been going to. I don't know what else you do.
Well, I mean, you look at last night and the way he went right to Wade Davis. Obviously, that said, you know, what the game means. It also said what he thinks of everybody else out there. But there is no game five unless he does what he did last night. So even if you don't have Wade Davis from here on out, you weren't gonna go any deeper into this series if those other guys don't start doing their jobs anyway. So you just burned Davis. Maybe, you know, it was a sixth day since throwing 44 pitches. You know, at 48 pitches last night, I mean, really, you're talking game two of the World Series at that rate.
Well, Aroldis, you know, Chapman says that's overrated. He could come back.
Yeah.
You're going to abuse him like, you know, unless, I mean, it's, do you consider if you bring him back as your closer next year, or if your series walking, would you be tempted to have him get up tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you sure you'll be tempted, and he made it sound after the game last night like he'd be willing to do anything they might want him to do, to like he's going to come to the ballpark and see if he can pitch. But no, I don't think so. I mean, he hasn't really been that. He's on fumes. I mean, he hasn't been that sharp. Some of the walks and kind of, you know, just surviving. You know, big, huge pitch. I didn't know what was going to happen last night in that ninth inning when he puts the guy on and his pitch count's closing in on 50 and he's got one out and then you know,
4-6-3 helps you.
Yeah, I mean, so. He's out tonight for sure. He might be out for games. I would think game six he's available on limited duty. But this game will tell you everything you want to know about this year's Cubs today. They go against Kershaw. They are at home. Obviously a survival game, but if they're gonna if they advance in this series, they're gonna have to do it without their one reliable reliever right now, and beating the best one of the best, if not the best pitcher on the planet. But if they do it, you know, think about the vibe going into
game
six. Oh yeah,
all of a sudden the Dodgers start answering questions about how they always fail to get there.
Yeah, absolutely, and now some guys are a little more rested. You got that day off for everybody to think about it, including the Dodgers. Kershaw's out of the picture, and your rotation shifts to John Lester. So if it happens, and that's a big if, because you know there's a lot stacked against them tonight, but they are at home. This, I believe, in 04, it was similar when the Red Sox did it. You know, they were at home where they got the first two. And then had their pitchers lined up in the road games when they went back to Yankee Stadium. So tonight, I mean, it's when you're in this situation, every game is that one big huge game. But if they were to win a couple more, this is the one you're going to look at and say that showed something, and that made everything possible.
Are they ever going to score a run in this series without a homer?
Probably not. I don't know, man.
Are they ever going to win a game without Bryant and Rizzo contributing?
Well, that's the bigger question. I mean, Rizzo's got, what, 16 strikeouts? But, I mean, the pitching has been phenomenal against them in this postseason. When you look at two Strasburg starts, what Scherzer did in his start, and then this Dodger bullpen, not to mention some of their starting pitching. And the left-handers are tough. And, you know, so a guy like Rizzo is going to face as big a challenge as he's going to see. But, you know, the deeper they go, I mean, look at Javi Baez. He was over 20. And then hits two home runs, and that's as big as it gets. Can they without those two guys? Sure. You know, I mean, because they've got enough up and down the roster in the lineup. I mean, just even just matching up against guys that they can. Everybody brings something, you know. And if they win, they're going to have to do it with low scoring games anyway.
What's your gut feeling about tonight? I mean, does this game get decided by the bullpen? And if so,
and doesn't Lester have to be part of the bullpen if you're in must win mode? Which
well,
you are obviously
see, now. Then you're getting away from what Gordon's talking about, having your pitching lined up, right?
Yeah, but
you got to win the game.
It's you're not saving Davis for anything because there is nothing if you don't win it. So depending on the situation, but yeah, you know, last night they get Arrieta. Two outs deep in the seven, almost gets through seven. You're going to need something like that out of Quintana to really have a chance. To answer your question, I just don't know. I mean, last night's game was so intense. That could be sort of a momentum swinger. It could. It also, I'm sure, took a lot out of a lot of guys, but. If you're the Cubs, you know, you come in with a whole different feeling today. They have gotten to Kershaw in the past, so if they can get to him again, and if they could somehow manage, you know, like they did in L.A. against him, I think they got to him for 4 runs in 5 innings.
Yep.
It might even been a little more. So something along those lines, yeah, a little bit of margin. That would be how to do it. If this thing gets down to a battle of the bullpens, wow. If they were to win a battle of the bullpens, you know, no holds barred. I mean, you could be talking about the second 3-0 comeback in Major League history. But it's just huge. I don't know. The matchups do not line up for them in any way you look at it. And yet they won last night, and they're at home, and they've gotten a Kershaw before, and it's baseball. We know
Joe doesn't like to have meetings, but the team sure does. If they went down to the groundskeeper's locker room underneath, and Rizzo said they had one in their own weight room before Game 3 that didn't work out, so they changed the venue. And it sounds like they're going back down there again tonight for stretching and Tim Buss pep talk.
Yeah, Bussy's the key to that whole thing, secret weapon.
Cheaper than Hayward's pep talks.
Yeah, right. Weather's been too nice for Hayward.
You need a good rainstorm. A 17-minute drizzle, anyway.
I don't know. They need, you know, the meetings are nice, but they need a few hits and a few more runs tonight.
All righty, Gordon. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Get your nap in.
Gordon Whitmire covering the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times.
It was an intense game last night for a low score.
Well, I mean, that's probably why.
Yeah.
You know, a 3-2 game, and there's a lot, and you're facing elimination the rest of it. And
your closer's going 2 innings, and he's got a little jam or two to get out of, and there's no turning back.
He was not at his best by any stretch of the imagination. And having said that, the fact that the one reliable person in the bullpen is now off limits – It just kind of ratchets up the pressure. And I agree with what Gordon said. You know, leave Quintana out there. Let him solve some problems. Let him go seven
innings. He's earned it. I mean, he's pitching.
I agree.
Look at the numbers and look at the eye test.
Not saying he's got a rubber arm, but I mean, he's...
He got yanked because Schwarber...
Made 2 errors on one play.
And then he's emotionally drained, according to Joe, on Saturday.
But he didn't look like he was physically drained. It looked like he could have gotten the next two guys. And
absolutely.
Instead they
and low pitch count and everything else.
So here's hoping he gives him a nice long run tonight, because I think...
He's really got no choice, does he?
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Yeah, me, no, Joe.
He has choices.
He's
in charge.
He's written the script, or he's writing it as we speak.
Help. All right, 312-644-6767. What about you? Who do you want to give the ball to in the ninth inning if Wade Davis is off limits? Who is your closer right now for tonight's game? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Elevate the offense, reduce the need for closer.
Memo to Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, who had a collective, 0-for-7 with 4 strikeouts yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be better. Got to get going. You got to get an early lead, and a couple of 3-run lead would be go a long way to get you to L.A.
312-644-6767. Let's try Rick. Rick's in Peoria. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I think if they have to bring somebody in, I'd go with John Lackey.
This is a joke, right?
Or is this Joe Madden?
You're making a joke?
No, I'm not making a joke.
Well, defend that then.
Well, the other guys haven't been doing a whole lot out there, you know. And like I said, Davis is done, so maybe Game 6 if they get that far. And I think John will have smoke coming out of his ears. I think if they need somebody to close it out, I think John will do the job.
Yeah, the ball might have smoke coming out of it as it goes over the wall, too, if Justin Turner gets
that,
it pulled over.
I, honest to God, I thought he was joking.
I did, too. I thought
that
he was doing
it. That is not a serious answer to this question, is it?
The bigger question is, can you even afford to go to one inning of John Lester if you're going to get Q early for whatever reason or just because you do?
I don't know about it.
Because now it's the side session a couple days before the Saturday start. If you get a dozen, 14 pitches out of him like you did.
I mean, are you seriously telling me that with Wade Davis gone, you don't trust anyone at all in the bullpen?
No, you go.
So you go with a starter.
No, it's, look, Strope.
Don't you have
Carl
to?
Edwards or Strope would be your
yes,
only two choices,
you
right?
You have to go
it's
to
not
that.
John Lackey.
Can you imagine if they bring in John Lackey in the ninth inning tonight?
No, there would be a riot.
You know what you do? To make sure that doesn't happen, you dry hump him. Well, it's a baseball term. That means you can't, once you get him up and you don't get him in, that you can't get up again. That's right. Joe told me that.
He did. Joe said that. Joe did say that. But, again, I don't think that's a serious answer either.
I think that was a chance move.
George is downtown. Oh, my God.
Well, and it's definitely Brian Dunstan. The reason we're in game five, the next game, is because he took out Bellinger. That was a key pitch on the pop-up.
That was terrific.
He's earned the keep, and then you go to Montgomery afterwards if you have to. And
who's your closer? Who's your closer?
Well, you know what? That's something you're going to have to decide in the moment. If you have to go to somebody else, I don't know who else is there.
You decide that
before.
You have to write it all down. You script it.
Don't you know Joe's deal?
Come on. Who are you scripting right now?
Who plays the role of the closer? George Clooney?
You tell me, guys. I don't know. But I'm sick and tired of the setup people and the Dodgers throwing just enough in to hit our guys. I'm not happy about that. And something needs to be said about that.
Well, you know.
Don't swing at
Rizzo
it, Anthony.
Rizzo gets hit in the regular season.
But why? He also swung at the one to hit him.
But he's also way over the plate, right? I mean, he doesn't crowd the plate. That's why he gets hit so often. And he knows it. You don't see him going nuts about it.
But
he understands
if it hits him after you swung at it, it doesn't matter.
Eric is downtown. No, Eric is in Dixon. Excuse me. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. Hey, you kind of stole my thunder, but I'll throw this out there and then I'll hang up and see what you think. I think you start Q, obviously take him as long as you can, and then you bring in John Lester and let him finish the game. And then you'll go straight to Hendricks on Saturday, and you come back to Arrieta on Sunday. What do you think about that?
Kyle Hendricks, short rest. How many pitches? He had 86, I want to say, the other day. You know, hey, you got it. There's no perfect solution because of the Cubs' bullpen being the way it is, but you got to get through tonight's game. John Lester, everyone's saying, no, you can't. If you're going to, you have to win this in seven, you can't burn a Lester start. Well, you don't get to game six, let alone seven, if you don't get through tonight. So Lester has to be available and ready to go, and you have to figure it out after that.
I don't think that's a serious answer. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well,
John Lester is
save him for a game that may never be played.
Well, I mean, if you got him up and going, you needed four plus innings out of him. But the idea of like waiting and then putting him in the highest leverage situation.
Oh, I'm not.
Again,
no, I'm talking.
He's never done that.
Yeah,
before.
The callers,
no, we're talking about it as a closer.
No, right. I'm saying,
he's saying you go to John
I'm
Lester,
saying if Q gets roughed up or you get yank him early for whatever reason.
Wacky does give up first inning home runs. You know.
Yeah. No.
You
no.
Can't
that's
go
that's,
to him and lose
been
the game.
There
and
lost
then,
that.
Haven't you have like? I mean, after seeing Lackey in back to back games, if you somehow ended up in some extra innings marathon, maybe you'd use him.
Right.
But that would be it.
Yeah, none of this.
He's proven that he can't do what we're talking about asking him to do. And I don't.
That was game two. This is game no tomorrow.
I don't know. I think that when you're talking about a situation where it's an elimination game, you have to go to the people you've trusted all year long. You have to. Even if it's shaky as all get out, I don't know, you know, maybe you don't like Carl Edwards. You don't want him walking a pitcher. Whatever it might be, that's kind of your guy. That's your guy. He's the next guy up. You know, you can't go to Justin Wilson.
No, but what I was saying is Lester's got to be available if Q, for whatever reason, can't get through five and you need a couple, two, three innings from a guy.
And it's an elimination game. I understand all that. I'm talking about
closing.
Who do you go to close the
game? You've got the lead. You know, we're even the game tied in the ninth inning. You know, who's getting that ball?
Let's try Michael's on the road. Michael, you're on with Molly and Hanley.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. My thought is I mean, last night, you know, he had Baez in there, 0-for-20 or whatever the heck it was, and he comes through with two home runs because he had faith in the guy. I think that, you know, in the closing situation, you go with either Montgomery or Edwards. Montgomery because of what he's done and, yeah, what he did most of the season. Same with Edwards.
Yeah, they never did that.
They had their bumps. Well, I know, but if you don't have Wade Davis. So, you know, and they talk about Edwards as being the, you know, potentially a closer of the future. So, yeah. You know, I mean, this is your future. I mean, if you don't do it now, there is no future.
Let's try Bob. He's on the northwest side. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is about Wade Davis, not about his pitching, but was it ever brought up why he did not bunt in that situation last night?
If they lost, it would have been brought up, but also why Joe didn't double switch so that he wasn't batting second in the ninth inning.
These are good questions.
But they won.
Phil is in Cary. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys. Just a real quick question. First, agree that, John Madden used to say, you got to dance with the lady you brought. Yeah. Who got you here? Montgomery, Edwards, maybe throw in Dunson. If Lester's not available, you got to go with, based on the situation, you can't always script it. Based on the situation, you go with one of those three guys. That's my first comment about the closer. Maybe it's not one, maybe it's three guys, or two or three guys. The second comment is, even if Quintana can go seven innings, if the Cubs can't score five runs today, we lose.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
You can't keep living on this thin margin of error because the wind's blowing out. You should be able to put up a couple innings of crooked numbers or get to at least four. Five would be, you'd be probably laughing, but you need to get to at least four to feel pretty good about extending the series.
One run lead in the ninth. You really think Wade Davis just sits in the bullpen?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You have the off day tomorrow. Yesterday was the first time he pitched in the series. I don't see any way.
Even before that, you're using Lester. If Quintana only gives you 4 2/3 or five, you're going to Lester, right?
Yeah, of course.
I am too.
Especially, with the off day tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's a no doubt.
And can I say one thing? We had a caller say that,
Lackey?
He credited someone with a quote. There's a lot of that going around, and there's not a lot of people that invent new quotes. During the broadcast, Ron Darling said that that Joe likes to say that he's stitious, but he's not superstitious. That's from The Office.
I know.
That's
yeah.
Michael Scott.
Didn't
okay?
he say that?
He also quoted Ricky Bobby in the post game.
I'm just saying, you can't say that that's his line when some poor writer in Hollywood wrote it, and we're not giving that guy credit. That's a Michael Scott line.
He also
line.
Said, with all
it's
due
a dumb line. It's funny, but it's not Joe.
He also said, with all due respect, but, and he said, according to Ricky Bobby, as soon as you say that, you can say whatever you want after that, and he went on to rip the umpiring crew.
There's only one guy on the Cubs who has original quotes time after time, and it's John Lackey. I mean, we can all agree on that.
Yes. His wife makes T-shirts, don't use John Lackey in the ninth inning.
He was wearing
You'll see the T-shirt.
I'm only here for the haircut T-shirt the other day.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the score. That, of course, the voice of John Paxson talking yesterday about the suspension of Bobby Portis. And we were already going to talk to John, and unfortunately, we'll begin with that. John Paxson joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, you know what?
A great way to start the year.
And, when we talked about it, I got to say, I've seen tons of fights in practices. I've seen a lot of guys. The injury is what obviously changed the storyline, the concussion, the broken bone in the face, the jaw, whatever. This is what raises it. You've been part of some scuffles in practice, not fisticuffs, but Michael was famously known to have struck a couple of teammates. It's just unfortunate that this happens on the eve of the start of the season, and now we're talking about things that aren't really related to it other than, of course, your rotation.
Yeah, it does. It puts a black eye on everything that has been positive about the preseason and the entire summer, for that matter. And you're right, Mike. It's the end result of what the punch did, and you can't overlook that. And we didn't. And like I said yesterday, you know, we had contact with the league, and we, you know, because this is really unprecedented. You know, you're right. I've seen hundreds of scuffles in practices, right. You know, and I've seen punches thrown, I've seen punches land, but I've never seen anything that resulted in an injury like this. And so yeah, we did what we thought was appropriate, given that Nico's going to be out for a good period of time. And you know, you put a player's health in jeopardy when you go, you know, above the shoulders. You know, the league talks about it all the time. When we talk about flagrant fouls in our league and those type of things, when you go above the shoulders and the head, it's a whole different ball game. So we did what we felt we had to do. We support both guys. Bobby's he's not a bad person at all. Nico, we feel bad for him, what he's going through. So we're going to support them both. And in some ways we have to move on now because we've got a season to play.
Vegas has an opinion, like a lot of people, looking at a rebuilding team, and they, I think, over under 20 wins for the Bulls. And, you know, you can debate that or not, John, or even give it any kind of credence. But does this feel like 2003 to you, or right around there when you were putting together the group that, you know, basically the try-hard Bulls that were pretty good and left it out there every night with the Kirk and Chris Duhon and BG and all those guys? How will you judge this season short of wins and losses?
Well, we're not going to judge it by wins and losses. We're going to judge it by the development and growth of our young players. And in order to judge a season on those things, they have to get opportunity. And so you're going to see our young guys get opportunity. And I think the other thing that's kind of lost in this is, you know, we've had Zach LaVine, who's, you know, been out the entire time and is rehabbing from his injury, and he'll be back at some point. He's a key component to the rebuild of this year. So when we get him back, but look, Lauri Markkanen, I mean, he's obviously going to have a role anyway, but to begin the season now with both power forwards out, he's going to have a bigger role. We're going to see guys like Denzel Valentine, Paul Zipser, who's a solid player. That's how we're going to determine it. And the challenge for us, and really the goal for us, is to look, I've been around long enough to know that it's hard to win at a high level in this league when you're a young basketball team and developing. So we all get that. The challenge is going to be to keep everybody upbeat and positive, and keep the focus and understanding on what's to come. But I think we've got a group that will do that. Players and coaches don't go out there, trying to win. You know, our guys are going to go out and compete. And I do think the other thing that we'll look at this year on is, you know, how competitive our guys are in a very, very difficult league.
John, I heard Fred Hoiberg say yesterday of this incident that it's his job to make sure that it doesn't derail you, derail the season. How would it derail you? I mean, is it the chemistry element that people end up taking sides or something? I wasn't quite sure how it would derail a season.
Yeah, I don't know I don't see that happening. In fact, I think it could really bring these guys
right
together when all said and done. You know, when we get back in town after the game tonight, you know, the work of getting Bobby and Nico, you know, back in the group together and us, you know, airing this out, and that'll be Fred's responsibility and the coaching staff's responsibility to get them together and to get us bonding again. And like I said, they're both really good guys, and you guys know, I mean, practices are competitive situations, and we were in a scrimmage situation, and guys are going at each other. And I played with BJ Armstrong for a lot of years, and we had a lot of times where we were talking back and forth. You know, BJ was always trying to take my job. I was always trying to fend him off, you know, and you do that in practice. So it happens. It's just, again, it's just very disappointing that it rose to that level. And, it's difficult from the standpoint that we are starting the season tonight. And, you know, two guys that have worked really hard for us are now out.
Do you put any kind of timeline on this for season ticket holders? And I don't know what kind of feedback you've had or interaction with the people who are paying the freight and paying the fare. I know that when Theo started this with the Cubs, he didn't put a timeline on it. He said he had to tune out the negative and positive noise that he was going to hear over the years. But what should fans expect over these next couple of years as you go through these growing pains?
Well, you can't put a timeline on it because there's a lot of variables out there. But I do think that, and we mentioned this when we made the deal for Jimmy, that we wanted to get a jump start on it by getting some, you know, what you want to call assets in the deal. And so in reality, what we got was Zach LaVine, who is still a 22-year-old player who averaged 19 a game last year. So he's significant. And then getting Markkanen with the 7th pick, who's 21 now and a bright future. And then getting Chris Dunn, who was the 5th pick in the draft last year. That to us was was going to help us jumpstart this. So you take that, you add to it the year of growth and development of some of our young guys where they get opportunity, and then to come, we have all our assets available to us going forward, our first-round picks. We have great flexibility in terms of the cap space. When the cap took this huge spike several years ago, there were 27 teams who had cap space. We didn't view that as an asset at that point. Next year, there'll probably be 5 or 6. We view it as an asset now, and we'll be one of those teams that have it. So we will have opportunity. Then it becomes the decision-making on our part and the drafting of the players. And I think we can do this. You know, you see examples of teams that have turned it around quickly. You see teams that haven't. But I think we're in a position to do it quicker than most have done it. Yes.
Speaking of the draft, we get texters every time we talk to you post-draft wondering why you sold the second round pick to Golden State. Turned out to be Jordan Bell, but there's $3.5 million transaction. And for a team that's really got rebuilt through the draft, how would you answer people wondering, you know, why the money was more valuable than maybe a player turned into something?
Well, you know, we had our board up there, and we were sitting there with Jerry and Mike, and we said, here's 5 players in the second round that we really value. And when we got to that pick, those 5 players were gone. And, you know, sometimes when you're dealing in a situation where you are looking ahead to the future, you have to have some, you know, build up some equity with decisions that you make. And, you know, you look back to when we did start this rebuild, the first rebuild in 2003, one of the things Jerry did a year into the rebuild was let us use $3 million to buy the Phoenix pick where we got Luol Deng. And so at that point, you know, we were, you know, Jerry and Mike, or Jerry at the time, stepped up. Sometimes you have to take an opportunity where you build equity within the organization for future decisions. And because we didn't have someone on that board that we really were enamored with and that we thought positionally fit, you know, we just drafted Lauri Markkanen at the power forward, and Jordan Bell is a smallish power forward, and we had Nico and Bobby. We said to ourselves, here's a chance for us to continue to, it was a roster spot we knew we could use in a different way. And it was something that we thought, hey, down the road, there will be a time and a place where we can use money to our advantage. And that's really what it came down to.
John, Chris Dunn could be back next week. Is that accurate? And I know you signed Kay Felder. I actually saw that kid play in college. I mean, he's like an unbelievable. He's an amazing player to watch. Yeah. But you've brought in, I believe it is 8 point guards in the last 2 years. And
I think B.J. Armstrong is one of them.
where are you at with the position, and where are you at with Dunn coming back?
Well, we hope Chris is back. You know, we hope Saturday, but it may not be Saturday. He's here with us on the trip. And then, you know, if not, then hopefully next week in Cleveland. But yeah, we have brought in a lot of point guards. I think what it tells you is how important that position is.
Right.
And we've said that all along. You need a guy who can go get in the lane the way the rules are now, the way the spacing is on the floor. You need a guy who can really create problems for the defense by getting to the paint and making plays for himself and for others. So we have brought in a lot of guys, and you know, our hope is that Chris, as this year goes along, will regain the confidence he had in college and play at a high level. And Kay, you know, when we we ended up taking in that draft. We had Paul Zipser on our radar, and we ended up drafting him. Kay was next on our list of guys that we really liked, and he's just kind of an explosive player, kind of in the mold of a Nate Robinson,
right,
or someone like that who can go get your baskets, and you know, you hope defensively can go up and pressure. So he'll get a chance at some point, you know. And now with the two of our big guys out, we'll probably have to play some small lineups, and I'm not sure if he'll be in the rotation early at all, and he might see some time in the D League, you know, those type of things. But these are the opportunities that we can take advantage of being in the position that we're in. And, you know, anytime you get an opportunity to look at young players like we're getting an opportunity to do, it's to our advantage. So we're happy to have him.
How much are you looking at young players, and have you done anything with the scouting staff since the draft is going to be so important to you?
No, we're just going to we always put a high priority on the scouting staff and on the draft. We have a relatively small scouting staff, but the thing that Gar and I have always done is we are out a lot, the two of us, and sometimes that's not always the case, especially early on. And you know, Gar's already got a trip to Europe planned here soon, and you know, he'll be out a ton. So we put a high priority on it, and we'll identify the top prospects as the first 2 months of the college basketball season goes on, and you know, we'll go from there. We really believe we have a good process when it comes to the draft, and we're very confident in our staff.
John, thanks a ton. Good luck tonight, and it will be, you know, a season of getting to know guys, and you know, it's going to be a different kind of year, but I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to seeing different guys play, and hopefully Zach LaVine gets back as soon as possible. He looks like a stud.
Yeah, he's a great guy too. He's been good for our organization culturally. He's upbeat. He's positive, and I think, you know, when we do get him back, he'll, you know, we've added shooters. Zach can shoot it. Justin Holiday can shoot it. Those are the things we're trying to build here. And you know, again, it takes time, but we're confident we're going in the right direction. And I appreciate going on with you guys.
Always appreciate it, Pax.
Thanks, John.
You got it.
That's John Paxson, Bulls Vice President of Basketball Operations. Interesting. It's a different type of year, you know, hey, you find a player or two, and then you can start building around that. But it's going to be a struggle, no question about it. Want to thank everyone connected to the program. Thanks for calling and texting and emailing, and most of all, thanks a ton for listening.
Hopefully it's a Cubs victory Friday tomorrow morning, live at 5, bright and early. Please join us.
Just stay alive. Staying alive. Ha, ha, ha.
Got to have faith.
Mully and Hanley. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.